The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Say It to My Face Wednesday edition. Or, if you prefer, why would he do that Wednesday edition? Rolling into a happier hour. We got a fine guest. He joins us right now live via stream. He's a pundit. He's a podcaster. He's a friend of the Devil's Advocates. Bill Press, welcome back, sir.
Hey, guys. Hey, so the last time we talked, you were in Milwaukee, and nothing has happened since.
No, nothing.
I mean, you know, God, nothing has happened since except the whole world turned upside down, right?
It certainly did, yeah.
By the way,
just
the right way, in the right way.
Yeah, right? Amen, brother.
Amen, I must say, right?
Bill Press, what did you think of Kamala Harris at a overflow rally in Atlanta last night? Like 10,000, Megan Thee Stallion, it was like a rock concert, and she gave Trump the ultimate schoolyard taunt. If you're going to say it to my face. In other words, don't be a chicken. Come debate me, Trump. Apparently Trump's, you know, lacking courage suddenly to go debate the Democratic candidate, Bill. Wanted to start there.
Well, look, he's a coward. He's a chicken, right? You know, he cannot. I got to tell you, if Joe Biden planned this out, right, and I'm not saying he did, he could not have planned it out better. Number one, the timing. You let them have a whole week. You let them have a whole week making the case to run against Joe Biden. Then you pull the rug out from under them and say, ha ha, I wasn't going to run anyway. Number one. Number two, you put up against Donald Trump the one person he cannot handle, can't stand, can't deal with, and that's a woman. That's especially a black woman, right? And he, I'll tell you, my prediction is he will never get on the debate stage with her because he's probably seen clips of her taking on Brett Kavanaugh when she was a United States Senator on the Judiciary Committee. She is one badass woman, right? And she would not take any crap from Donald Trump. None of the stuff that he got away with Joe Biden would Kamala Harris do. And right now, remember, Trump originally said, oh, yeah, I can't wait to debate her. And they said, well, we're not sure who they're going to nominate now. So we got to wait until they officially nominate her, and then we'll decide. I mean, he's looking for any excuse not to get on stage with her. And I thought it was great yesterday when she just looked right at the camera and said, hey, Donald, bring it on, baby, basically. Yeah. Say it to my face, coward. We're going to see that. That's the nominee we're going to have. That's the opponent Donald Trump's going to have. And he cannot. You can see it right now. He's all over the place. Look at when he was at the Black Journalist today, which is a disgrace. The fact that they invited him. He spent his entire lifetime, starting when he was a teenager working for his father, denying blacks the right to live in their apartments. He's an outright racist. His entire life proves that. And they invite him to speak to the Black Journalists after he's insulted them for the last 8 or 12 years from the White House and after the White House. But at any rate, you saw
Okay, but Bill, on that note, let's go there for just a second. We played some of the clips. It's all over social media. His reaction, Rachel Scott, I mean, just absolutely terrible. But do you think, was anything What was really positive that came out of this in your mind? I get you. Think about why would they do that? You articulate some reasons why perhaps the black community, black journalists wouldn't want to. But he is a newsmaker, and he came out and said some pretty Trumpian racist things. Do you think that is a good thing, at least as given the independence and not undecided, a real flavor of what the man's all about?
I'll answer that question if you give me the name of one non-MAGA person who would be impressed by what he said today, who would decide to vote for Donald Trump based on what he said today, which is saying that she's never been black all of her life. You know, she decided to turn the corner, become black. This is a woman who went to, her father is black. She went to Howard University. She's a longtime member of the leading black women's sorority in the United States of America. She was, I mean,
But did they used to be like the Indian sorority? Did they change their mind too, Bill? Yeah. You know, I mean, right. I get it, man. I mean, you and I understand the facts and the reality of this thing, but to your point, not one non-mega person is going to be impressed by that. No. To the point then, was it a good idea for the National Association of Black Journalists to expose him like that?
Were I a member, right, I probably would have resigned. I would not have invited. Some did. I don't want to give this racist, sexist, I want to be careful here. I don't want my own language to equal Donald Trump's, right? I don't want to give him that exposure. I think for journalists to give him that platform, right, to me, it's just like when CNN gave him one whole hour against Caitlin Collins, and they couldn't handle him, and all he did was spout his lies, you know? So why give him that time? I would not have done it. And he did not gain any votes by it, for sure.
But Scott from ABC certainly gained my respect, and certainly that of her colleagues, I think the American people. She did every part what she should have done as a journalist, tried to hold him accountable, tried to make him answer the question that was put before him. Yes. And if he refuses, well, then that's on Trump. But I thought it was great for exposing the American people to this. Maybe I disagree with you. It's a rarity, Bill, but...
No, we could. It's just, I'm tired of the media treating Trump like he's a legitimate, serious candidate. I mean, he is an aberration to the American political system, right? You go back 200 years, right? We've never had anybody as un-American who's totally against everything that America stands for as this guy. And the media just overlooks the fact that he sent an armed mob to attack the United States Capitol and still hasn't accepted the results of the 2000 election and says he's going to pardon everybody who took place in it and then turn the Justice Department into his own cop force to lock up his political opponents. And then they put him up on the stage and say, well, Kamala says this. On the other hand, Donald Trump says this. I mean, Jesus, you know, I think the media rightly has to say, yeah, there's some there's some guidelines here for American politics, and this guy is out of bounds. And we should
Bill,
not
would you interview Donald Trump?
No.
I would. No. Hell yeah, I would. I'd take all sorts of pot shots till he hung up or walked out. But I would do it, Bill.
Yeah, and you know what? He would talk all over you. He would tell all the same lies. He would do what he did to you. You're good. You're strong. I love your work, man. I love my work. But I know he would it would be a Donald Trump show. He would talk all over you. He would tell all the same lies. He would not answer your questions. And he would attack you and he would attack anybody else. And you'd lose control of that from the moment it started.
Well, maybe Dom would, but.
Well, I mean, maybe if you're a traditional journalist, but you know what? That's the other side of that. You know, no one calls him names back. No one says, hey, you know, you're going to say that you're a rapist, man. You know, to his face and get in his face. You sent a mob to attack. How could you possibly, you know, I mean, really be strong and mad back at him? Give him the mirror of Donald Trump. He'd welter, man. I don't think he could do it.
Yeah. But so I want to come back to what I said.
I don't think they're going to offer us Trump, just for the record, Bill.
Right. by the way, I haven't asked for it. And if I did, I would not get it. So no problem there. But I want to come back to what I said. You can see Donald Trump is floundering right now, man. The entire Republican Party is. They don't know where to go with Kamala Harris. So what's their big deal? Now it's she wasn't always black. She just decided to turn black, which is insane. Well, before that, it was, she's got this laugh. She's got a laugh. I mean, that's really dangerous. As Trump says, you can tell a lot by somebody's laugh. Yeah, you can tell they're a real human being. You know, I saw Gretchen Whitmer last night, who's, by the way, my candidate for vice president. We can talk about that. But anyway, I was at a book signing. I don't want to get the impression Gretchen and I were hanging out, you know. But and somebody asked her about that, and she just said, this is so crazy. She said, I don't know. She said, did you ever see the other guy laugh at all?
Right.
Yeah. I think Mark Cuban offered him $5 million for a belly laugh, full on laughing his ass off between here and Election Day. I'm not sure if he'll take that wager.
I like somebody who's got a good laugh, frankly. And I think one of the great things about, one of the most effective things about Barack Obama, like, for example, at the White House correspondence dinners, where he's giving good lines, you know, he'll give a good line and then he'll laugh at his own line almost before the audience does, right? He gives that little chuckle. Bill Clinton had a great laugh. Right? By the way, so did Hillary, and they attacked Hillary for her laugh, if you recall, right? So this is it. They cannot stand a strong woman. All they can do is call them names. Crazy Nancy Pelosi, it's now crazy Kamala Harris. It's all they can do is call them names. And I'll tell you, if you want to piss off millions of suburban women, keep it up, man. Keep insulting. Yeah. Don't talk about policies. Don't talk about her different on policy. No. Just make fun of her, insult her, you know. Done.
I thought he brought on J.D. Vance as the vice president to do that. Insult women across the nation.
No. As he said today, it doesn't matter. The choice of J.D. Vance today, he said, doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does. It matters to the childless cat ladies.
They're all over my Facebook stream. Bill Press, he's all over our stream. He's our fine guest here on the Devil's Advocate. Stick around. More of Bill, his VP pick. Bill, I'm telling you, I think it's Josh Shapiro, only because they're launching in Philadelphia. I think geography says to me, perhaps Shapiro, but we'll get your pick. More Devil's Advocates. We'll keep talking, Bill.
Sixty % of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Bill Press, our friend, he's a podcaster, he's a prognosticator, he's a pundit. You can find him on Twitter at Bill Press Pod. Bill, I know we're going to get into the VP selection, your thoughts, but we haven't spoke since President Joe Biden declined to continue his run for the second term. And of course, Vice President Harris consolidated support. When you got that news that day, man, I want to know what was going through your mind?
Relief, number one. A little sadness, mixed emotions, because we've talked about that. I'm a big Biden fan, have been for a long time. We're both from Delaware, right? So special bonding there. He and I joke about that a lot. And pride in Biden for being big enough, tall enough, American enough to make the right decision. I mean, I think he earned his spot on Mount Rushmore, as far as I'm concerned. And to me, he put his country over himself. To me, the contrast between these Republicans, like Marco Rubio, go down the list, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, and all of those people who know Donald Trump is sick, know he's dangerous. But like on this border bill, right? That was good for the country, bipartisan bill, but they went for their party over their country. Joe Biden went for his country over his party and over himself. Just a unique an unusual and I think heroic exercise of leadership on his part. And by the seals his legacy forever. Before that, I was afraid of this. I think the first paragraph of his obit would be, this is a guy, former president, who didn't know when to get out of the way. Now, the first obit is going to be, this is the giant, the most consequential one-term president in the history of this country who made this selfless decision for what was best for the country. So good for Joe Biden.
Bill, did you ever see the Democrats rallying around Harris in the way they have? I mean, no. I have never seen this disorganized party suddenly march in lockstep like it is right now, Bill. Well,
no, I must say, by the way, we're only talking about a week away, right? You know, yeah. It's not like we're talking for the last 2 years. This is just a week, right? It's phenomenal. I never have seen the party so united and so real and so energetic and so spirited and so determined. You know, Kamala, I think, has done a great job hitting all the right notes this last week. And then the support that's coming from the white dudes and the black women and the young people and the memes and the union, I mean, and the leaders of Congress everywhere, rallying, Hollywood, Wall Street, rallying behind her. It's phenomenal. And, you know, yeah, it's a honeymoon. It's not going to last, but it ain't over yet. And it keeps building and building. It's got a momentum of its own. And again, look at the Trump campaign. They are floundering. They don't know where to go, right? So, yeah, we didn't mention this. Trump says she hates Jews. Hello? She's married to one.
Yeah, but like he's 15. A crappy Jew like
He's
Bernie Sanders, Jew. According to the WABC host. And then Trump says, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, look, that's the level of attack. They don't know where to go. Thank you, Joe Biden.
Bill Press, do you think the rumors are true? Do you think J.D. Vance had sex with that couch? And doesn't it seem like, whether or not it's true, Bill, doesn't he seem like the sort of dude that would have sex with a couch? And that's why it's sticking, I think.
I saw a phrase, what, he's a couch abuser or something like that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. And by the way, there's a pee tape for Trump in Moscow, which we'll see one day, too. I believe in that tape, and I believe in the couch.
Bill, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz started calling him weird. In fact, this whole Republican Party, they're weird. What do you think of this attack? That's something different than calling him fascistic or whatever Dom's been saying.
You know what? I love it because everybody can identify with it, right? You don't have, of course, let's remember, John Lennon once said, you're weird if you're not weird, right? So it can go both ways, but everybody right away, they know exactly what you mean. You don't have to define it. You don't have to say what you mean. You just say, oh man, they're weird. And everybody gets it right away.
Well, yeah. Bill, there's cool weird, and then there's J.D. Vance. But let me ask you, what about the Democratic base, and how is Kamala, does she need a white dude? How does she balance the ticket? Is it about electoral college votes? What would you do, Bill Press?
Well, first of all, this, you know, we all go by this wisdom that you have to balance the ticket, that people vote for vice president. They don't, really. I think we put much too much importance to geography. So the current wisdom is you have to have a white male from a key state, right? Swing state, okay? That would help, but I don't think that's the only thing you ought to be looking for. For me, it's somebody who would be really exciting, bring a lot of excitement to the ticket, and as a strong campaigner, and would take it to Trump and take it to Vance. I have to say, I really like the idea of Gretchen Whitmer. I saw her last night. She is so cool. I mean, there were 500 people there, George Washington University. She's got her new book out. She comes on stage. Here's the book. Signed.
True Gretch,
right. She comes on stage. She's got red slacks, gray kind of blouse and sneakers on. Total cool, total comfortable, total tough ass. I mean, she was just so good. I think, to me, the image of two badass women taking on these two white guys that don't know what the hell they're doing would be the most exciting thing that could happen to politics. Short of that, Josh Shapiro. And it looks like it could be Josh Shapiro. By the way, I think he'd be great, too. And Pennsylvania is really key.
You know, so, Bill, we'll get to meet the vice presidential candidate and yes. Kamala Harris coming to Western Wisconsin next week. I can't tell you when.
Oh, wow.
I can't yeah. tell you where, but she's coming, yeah. Bill, and I'll be there. But we'll check back in with you sometime real soon, my friend.
Yeah, you got to do it fast because things are happening so fast. You know, we got it. All right, guys. Hey, feel good. This is a great moment. Yeah. Enjoy it.
Ride. I'm not used to this feeling, Bill. We appreciate you, man.
Ride this wave. Ride this wave.
We're chasing the dragon, Bill. We're chasing it. Thank you, Bill Press. Podcast just dropped, what, yesterday, Bill?
Jamal Simmons.
Where can I get it?
BillPressPod.com. Bill Press Pod. Just anywhere you get your podcast, you can find my podcast. Google, Apple, Spotify.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I know it's always great when Bill Press comes round, our friend, podcaster, pundit, prognosticator, partier, friend of the Devil's Advocates.
Yes, he is. He's a good cat. We love Bill. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, thanks for coming round, Bill. You can join us right now if you'd like. We got a little bit of time and another fine guest coming in studio this hour, Dr. Tim Slecker from the Busted Pencil Show on Civic Media. He's in town, so we're going to have him in studio and talk about
Excellent. Maybe
the VP pick, possible pick, Josh Shapiro. I guess he's a voucher guy. Curious what Tim thinks of that. But anyways, Tom, I wanted to get back to Trump. Trump made an appearance today in front of the National Association of Black Journalists. And he claimed, and I paraphrased, Rich, if you could, why don't you look up this clip? I don't want to paraphrase. I want to get it accurate. Trump basically insulted Kamala Harris and said she's Indian. I didn't even know she was black. And she wasn't black before, and now she's, what, pretending to be black? Something of that sort? Well, after he said it today, and there were some gasps, some booing from the black journalist in the audience, Tom, he's doubled down. He has gone to social media.
Wait, there's more?
To double down right. on this thought, here is what he said on the Truthy Social this afternoon. Crazy Kamala is saying she's Indian, not black. This is a big deal. Stone cold phony. She uses everybody, including her racial identity. And he uses a video clip of Mindy Kaling and Kamala Harris talking about cooking traditional Indian cuisine. She talked about Indian food with a Indian actress, so therefore she's claiming Indian heritage. The cooking segment proves it, Dom.
What?
That's what he shared on the Truthy Social. Now, Harris's mother is Indian, and her father is Jamaican. She has consistently identified as mixed race with both black and Indian heritage. In response to Trump's comments, a number of far-right activists have pushed claims that Harris concealed or reinvented her race, Dom. This is the stupidest, craziest argument anywhere, and MAGA World's jumping on board. Laura Loomer, do you know this one? She's quite crazy. The Q is strong with her, Dom. A failed congressional candidate who Trump briefly considered for a role on his campaign posted, "I have a copy of Kamala Harris's, at Kamala Harris, birth certificate. Nowhere on her birth certificate does it say that she is black or African." Well, Jamaica is actually in the Caribbean, but you wouldn't know that. At Kamala HQ is a liar. I mean, just all you racist white people, just look at her. Is she black? Yes, you would call her black. You would use the N-word or worse. You never doubted that you were going to denigrate her race.
Well, that was before the Orange Messiah decided that was going to be his attack line because he's got nothing else. Nothing else.
Rich, do we have that sound?
He's been the most effective. He's done more for the black population of this country than any other president besides Abraham Lincoln. But it's all about him. The cut, I believe, you're talking about Donald Trump today.
Yes.
On Harris's race. I believe it's cut number 5, if you would please, Rich.
She was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know. Is she Indian or is she black?
She has always identified as a black woman.
I respect either one.
Black. Even he's just so condescending on top of the racism. Black.
I didn't know, again, that one had to declare one's racial heritage sufficiently for Trump.
Well, because it's Trump who is the one who decides. Any questions, you ask Trump. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to act. You don't know what response should be. You look to Trump. Period, man. That's it. That's all the farther you need to go.
The ultimate arbiter of everything.
Of everything.
You know, and they let him think that, Dom. His family, his friends, his sycophants, his former administration. They just keep on going along with this.
All right, but
that's,
you know,
the most craven thing.
Well, the craven because he's got billions. If that man was a broke-ass, living-in-the-park kind of guy, you think he'd get any of this?
No.
You think anybody would follow? Absolutely not, man.
They would call the cops and walk around the block to avoid him.
Right. Has he paid up the $500 million he owes to the state of New York yet? Has he paid E. Jean Carroll her $80 million that he owes her? I mean, this guy, if it were not for the perceived wealth, and I assume he's got money. I mean, he's still out of jail. Takes money to stay out of jail. So he's got money. He's got, you know, the sycophants and the megas giving him $250 million, you know, to stop the steal, which would be what ultimately going to his pocket for his legal defense fund. He's got a legal defense fund. That's not a legal defense fund. So that's nice that all you folks, you will fund that for him. But if he were just an average dude, he'd have to be poor in the park, man. He could just be your average guy walking down the street, going to the work, going to the job, going to the bar at the end of the shift. He would not get that kind of reverence that he does because they perceive him. The only reason is because he's rich.
In a racist way, he bemoans the fact that Kamala Harris was able to declare herself black, ignoring the fact that she is black. I would point out, didn't he just get to declare himself rich and people kind of went along with it? Because he really hasn't ever determined or properly verified, hasn't even offered us his taxes, right?
Well, come on,
just
man.
Waiting for the it's audit about, to be done.
It's the branding. You know what he feels? Is he feels good? That Trump brand is worth $10 billion. If he feels like he's losing control of the narrative, if he feels like he's falling behind in the polls, if he feels like he's actually got to scratch a check for $500 million to the state of New York and add on to that, well, maybe he's worth a little bit less today. So maybe that's why he's being so feisty at the National Black Journalists Association.
Well, right now, the Trump brand is worth about $1.96. 844-967-2789. Our pal Jack from Merrimack. Welcome, Jack. What do you got for us?
Hello, Jack.
Well, I think that Bill Press is correct. I wouldn't invite Trump to an interview either. All you're going to get is more of the same lies and insults. The other thing is, though, the legitimate media have to wake up to this fact that they've got to start taking a stand. It's time to actually do something about this kind of thing. Legitimate news outlets need to say as often as possible, Trump is a criminal. He's a liar. He's an adjudicated rapist. He's clearly racist. He'd implement Project 2025 if he got into office, which would establish.
No, he disavowed that, Jack. Yesterday, he got the guy fired. Right. It's all in his rearview mirror. Never wanted it, never knew about it, and didn't like most of the ideas apparently.
And he is a liar, which we also know. One of the first places the police, by the way, would attack is the enemy of the people. And that's a direct quote from Trump about the media, the legitimate media.
He said it over and over and over and over, Jack. I mean, he always says it. Like every single time he does an event, there's a press in the back of one of his rallies. He says that, he points at him, the whole crowd looks and boos and, you know, thumbs down, Jack. I mean, he, if there's one thing he's been consistent about besides his racism, it is his hatred of the free media.
Yep. Yeah, the media doesn't wake up and he gets in. The first place they're going to go is after people like, excuse me, guys, you. And, of course,
Slow down, Jack.
I've always considered, Jack, that that would be a possibility that we would become enemies of the state. He's described us as such at rallies prior, Jack. He's been doing that since 16, dude. Thank you, Jack.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I always took it as
844-967-2789.
I always perceived being called by Trump an enemy of the state sort of as a badge of honor.
Well, of his state of chaos, right? His state of racism, his state of misogyny is, you know, but of that state enemy, I am.
Patrick from Green Bay on the text line says, devils. I respect Bill Press, but wasn't crazy about his opinion post in The Hill calling for J.D. Vance to get the axe. We want him on the ticket as a huge liability, and I'm afraid flip-flopper Nikki Haley could be tapped for VP, says Patrick from Green Bay. I would not be shocked if Trump gave J.D. Vance the heave-ho during DNC week, trying to, you know, give it back to the Dems a little bit. Here's another texter. Shapiro would lose the race for Kamala. Gaza, Gaza, Gaza. And then a snarky Jim from Appleton says, welcome back, Mr. Crudy. Please continue to refrain from being an insurrection supporter. Kiss my ass, Jim, but I'll read the rest. As for the VP pick, everything Bill used to describe the perfect VP can be attributed to Pete Buttigieg. Though I can't argue with your logic about Shapiro. Now, I would point out, Buttigieg would be my choice. I just think predicated on the...
I finally convinced you of that, huh?
No.
Oh, good to know.
That was Scott Ross.
Weeks ago. Oh, okay.
He was much more convincing in his arguments. You might have said it, but Scott Ross actually changed my mind. That's the difference. He's persuasive.
All right. I didn't know I had to spell it out for you, Crudy. I'll talk slower next time.
But I have said... predicated on the fact that Kamala is going on the road with her VP pick next week, and they're starting in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, that I think logic would dictate, or at least geography might dictate, that it's Josh Shapiro. And real quick, before we bring on our education specialist, Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils, on The Hill reporting, progressive sound alarm on Shapiro VP talk. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, Democrat, is facing growing pushback from progressives, even as his stock rises in the Harris Veep stakes conversation. They, the progressives, are sounding the alarm on his past position on school vouchers and say that his stance on the Israel-Hamas war could highlight a divide in the Democratic Party that could impact the November election if VP Harris chooses him as her running mate. And Democrats who back Shapiro point to his popularity, record of winning statewide, and overall electoral importance of Pennsylvania, which has 19 electoral votes, Crudy has told you many times. It is part of the so-called blue wall, considered crucial to Democrats. But Dom, that hasn't stopped progressives from amplifying their criticism of the governor this week. One letter signed by nearly 50 progressive leaders pointed to Shapiro's, and I quote the letter, shortcomings as a national candidate, and urged the vice president to consider Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz instead. With the compressed timeline ahead of us to defeat the Trump-Vance MAGA threat, we simply cannot afford any setbacks, the letter said. A letter from another progressive group known as VP Unity said Harris's consideration of Shapiro has set off alarm bells amongst young voters, Muslims, Arab Americans and activists. And some progressives, critics of Shapiro, say that his response to the pro-Palestinian protest in Pennsylvania, hard for me to alliterate here on the radio, Dom, which have they labeled as heavy-handed, could impact the Harris Shapiro ticket more negatively than his views on the Israel-Hamas war more generally. So heavy-handedness towards the protest. That's the objection. And school vouchers. I guess those are the knocks. You're supposed to know what the knocks are up front. Megan Thee Stallion. Last night she was twerking at the Harris. I know some righties were losing their freaking minds.
Oh, they couldn't handle it, man. They could not handle it.
I just think it put the incels in a weird state of flux, if you know what I'm saying. Folks, we got a fine guest coming next. He is Dr. Tim Slecker, host of Busted Pencils on the Civic Media, coming up at 6 o'clock. Dr. Tim Slecker joining us next. More Devil's Advocates Wednesday. Why would he do that edition?
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, you can hit us up right now on the lines, 844-967-2789.
Dom, I erred. Knew it immediately and couldn't correct myself. That was not Megan Thee Stallion. That was Lizzo. I know you're a big connoisseur. So you would have noted right away, called me out on the air.
I knew it was Van Halen, man.
We got a fine guest. I hope you know him. He's Dr. Tim Slecker. He's the host or one of the co-hosts of Busted Pencils. Comes on the Civic Media Network, 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You got a fine lead in each and every night, Tim. How you been, man?
Man, good to see you, dude.
Good. Hey, Dom, what's happening? Hey, I'm doing great, you know, just at the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit, 10-year summit. So everything public education, everything Wisconsin.
Well, I hear that Trump, through Project 2025, would like to eliminate the Department of Education. Superfluous, I hear.
But he doesn't have anything to do with Project 2025, he said, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But, and some of the things in there are really he doesn't like whatsoever, Tim.
No. He's never once ever advocated for the elimination of the Department of Education. So, it's frightening, but... I hear you guys though talking about public education, and I hear you get, you know, so I'm originally a Pennsylvania boy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, all yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
Girl. Now you're a Buckeye.
Now I'm a Buckeye.
I particularly find you distasteful.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you don't get to pick where you live. You end up where you have to go. But no, Josh Shapiro, and right now I was saying after being, you know, the last 2 days being immersed in public education, he's not a choice of public education voters. Now, the question is, does that matter?
Does that matter?
I don't know. I think it does. We like to try to think that that's a pretty substantial block of people, particularly when you don't have to choose him, because if you're doing it from the math standpoint,
yeah,
why not go with Mark Kelly?
Because of Pennsylvania and 19 electoral college votes.
Yeah, I know that. But, you know, you alienate the public school voters, and I don't know, is that a big enough block to potentially say it's worth it because you're going to get those 21 electoral votes when maybe you're going to get those 21 electoral votes if you get Mark Kelly?
Well, Tammy Baldwin released some of her financial disclosures, her campaign, and amongst the greatest contributors to the Baldwin campaign, public school educators.
Yeah.
Not so, a shocker, I suppose.
But
well, I guess that's part of that's part of the math calculus. It's not just the electoral, you know, votes that you'll pick up. It's also who do we alienate? Who do we possibly lose? What percentage do we slice off of those folks that would have an issue with, in this particular case, an issue with school vouchers? But there's going to be that calculation on every issue, on everything.
Be it
Israel or be it, you know, Gaza or, you know, the border. I mean, pick your issue. That's always the case, right?
Yeah. No, I we get it. We've been talking about this a lot on Busted Pencils, you know. Is public education, you know, does it make a difference? Is the potential of saying, you know what, actually what really matters is who in the Harris administration, who are they looking at for a Secretary of Education? Is that a bigger statement? And could we get some insight onto that? Because potentially, you know, what excitement for us is, you know, if Waltz isn't going to be the vice president, what a great Secretary of Education he would be. And that would really be a nod to public education voters.
Now, I heard it recommended that Kamala Harris at the DNC convention in Chicago in a couple of weeks, not just announce her vice president, not just roll out her vice president, but because governance is really a delegation of leaders, it's not just one leader, it's a whole team of leaders. Mm-hmm. Why should she or not notify the American public? These are the people like Tim Walz that I would give cabinet positions to if you vote for me.
Mm-hmm.
This is my team. It's us. And of course, the contrast is Donald Trump claims it's all me.
It's all me.
I'm the only one that can solve the problem.
Right.
Well, you didn't solve many problems last time, sir.
He didn't solve problems. And I think, I don't know, I think there is some legitimacy around the idea of saying, here's my team. Because what, you know, there's already a great, and I say, there's an excitement right now with Harris. The idea of, you know, kind of saying, and here's who I'm going to bring with me. I think that just continues to generate excitement.
Yeah, yeah. Keep building on that. Dr. Tim Slecker, Busted Pencils, coming up next. Tim, it's a pleasure to see you, man. It's always fun to talk to you.
Thanks,
What one of the things Trump has said is that he will not give a penny of public dollars to any public school that mandates vaccines.
Mm.
What do you think would happen if if that actually came to fruition to public education?
Oh, wow. I mean, the whole threatening to hold money hostage is, it can be a real issue. The idea, though, that, you know, vaccines, really, I mean, we're going to go back to the idea of going, you know, hey, look, polio, it's worth the risk. You know, the idea that you're going to kind of go back into this, you know, yeah, you know, what, there's, I think this, he continues to earn daily that new label that he's got been given, weird. It's just weird. When you think about immunizing your child, other than really, really weird, crazy people, the majority of people want to send their kids to schools where their peers also have been vaccinated against diseases that can cause a crippling or even a death.
My kid, my choice.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? And you have a private school to send your kid to, not a public school. You have that choice. Just don't ask me for the taxpayer dollars to pay for
it. Yeah, you can do that on your own dime, not with the voucher.
Exactly.
With you there, buddy.
Yeah,
exactly. Tim, we're short on time. Act 10. Looks like it might get rolled back in Wisconsin. Would that be a benefit to teachers?
Huge, huge benefit. That would actually really signal to teachers that maybe we actually we're thinking of appreciating you again. So, yeah, big deal.
We appreciate you, Dr. Tim Slecker. We appreciate Johnny Lupinacci.
Thank you.
Did I say that right?
Lupinacci, man. You got it.
I've been listening. Busted Pencils comes on next. You're going to want to stick around for that. Thank you to our friend Bill Press. Thank you all for listening. We'll do it again tomorrow for your listening pleasure. Thanks to Rich for lightly screening them today. Have a great night, everyone. Stick around. Busted Pencils on the Civic Media Network with host Dr. Tim Slecker is next. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks,
guys.